Good morning, and welcome to our online service for this second Sunday after Pentecost. And as we look to the signs of the approaching summer season, and indeed in some places summer is indeed among us, we also look to the way that God changes our circumstance, the way that God sees us, and how things, although they seem to be moving slowly sometimes, they do move, and all in God's plan. I'd like to read a few verses from the 34th Psalm. It's a Psalm of David when he had been dealing with King Abimelech. And we just read the first 15 verses of that Psalm. Again, it's Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And we see in this Psalm of David that he talks about fear, and he talks about what God does to help us with those fears. And that's indeed our prayer this morning. So let us turn to God in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we again look into your word this morning, we are so thankful that your word is a blessing to us, that as we read your holy scriptures, that we can receive peace, that we can receive comfort, and that we can even receive questions that come to us that help us to understand who you are and how you move in this world. We pray that your Spirit would so move among us this morning that we would be taken from our fears, that our fears would diminish, and that we would really see where you are, that we would really see the truth of your strength and power, that it doesn't always come in obvious and apparent ways, but it comes in more subtle and more powerful ways that it are truly a rest unto our soul. We ask that you would help us here this morning see these things, that you would help us bring these things to our hearts, to our lives, and to the daily ways that we are presented with challenges, that we are presented with things that come into our life. We know that you are indeed our comfort and our stay. And we ask that you would so visit us this morning that we would be not fearful, that our countenance would be lifted, that our soul would be lifted, that our hearts would be gladdened in your presence and with your presence. And as we look into your scriptures, we again pray that you would show us your way, that you would have us see your wisdom here this morning, and that all those who are in need, all those who need to be helped and need strengthening and need that cessation of fear, that diminishment of the apprehension or the questions that we would have, that all of those would be able to get the help, see the help, and know that you are their help indeed. And now we ask that you would hear us as we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now we'll turn to the book of Numbers this morning. And last Sunday, the text that we looked at was also from the book of Numbers, Numbers 11, as it turns out. And it seems almost like I may have jumped the gun by going to the, because we read from the 24th through the 30th verse last week. And this week we're looking at the 10th through the 23rd verse. So it seems that the Lord has taken me back to look at this again to see a little more of the fullness of what this part of Scripture is. Because the Scriptures are so full and so rich, and there are so many things in each and every writing that we see in the Bible, that it takes a lifetime, like we say, to be able to come to more of an understanding and more of a realization of just who and how God is in our lives. So we're reading again from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, starting with verse 10, and the words are as follows in Jesus' name. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight. And let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you. Because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Amen. We see here again that the people of Israel, having been led by Moses out of the promised land into the wilderness, as it were, that the people and come to the point where they were grumbling. And as we looked at last week, there was a number of circumstances that they had experienced in their journey. And they came to this point, and they were not satisfied. and they were grumbling and they complained to Moses. And Moses, in turn, he complained to God. Or we can call it a complaint, but he had expressed his concerns to God. And he had done the right thing, really. And he had sought the Lord. And if we go back to the psalm that we read, in the fourth verse, there's one phrase there that really quite stuck out to me. And it's the phrase or the words that say, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." And when we look at the example that we see here of Moses and his interaction with the people and his interaction with God, we can see that he's actually kind of followed that pattern, because he sought the Lord. Once the people had made known their complaint to him, he turned to God. Now, from his speech or from his words and his address to God, we can see that, as it says in one of the first verses of our text, that because of the people complaining, that Moses was also displeased. And we know that the people had expressed their concern to Moses in saying that they would rather that they were back in Egypt. They didn't like these conditions in the desert. They didn't like that all they had was manna to eat. They wanted more meat. And so Moses sought the Lord. Now, we don't use that word in average conversation all that much, although it's just really a past tense of seek or looking for. We would be more likely to say that we looked for the Lord, or that we looked to the Lord. And in any event, Moses, as we mentioned, did the right thing. He turned to God for an answer to both his request for help with the leadership, and he wanted also help because the people wanted meat. And so if we look to the words of the psalm again, we're seeing that he has followed this pattern that the psalmist David had laid out here, that he sought the Lord. And it says also that he sought the Lord and he heard me. And we can see that God did hear Moses' request. And he turned, God indeed answer him. And he gave him a very practical solution. He didn't question whether or not Moses should have asked him these questions. He simply said, "Well, what I'll do for you," he said, "is I will give some of the spirit that I have given to you. I will give it to 70 leaders who you choose from among the people, who you know are the elders and are capable and willing to be able to carry that burden with you." And furthermore, he said that he would provide meat in abundance. And we can see in the text, because he says, he doesn't just say, "I'll give you meat." He says, "Well, basically, if you want meat, I'll give you meat. And I'll give you more meat than you can handle. I'll give you more meat than you can be able to deal with." And in this regard, God, we can see, he responded to Moses in a very practical way. And but yet, when he said this, then Moses, as we can see, he still demurred. He still questioned God. He said, "Where am I going to get enough meat to feed a million people?" Well, maybe it wasn't a million people, but he said it was 600,000 footmen, which are generally, like we had mentioned, that are taken to be men who are of an age where they can perform certain tasks, whether in battle or in work. So, and then that was besides the women and children. So, but Moses turned it to himself. He said, "Where am I going to get enough meat to feed these people for a whole month? Am I going to have to go kill all the flocks and herds that we have with us? Or am I going to have to go get all the fish from the sea?" And we can see that these questions, as Moses is expressing his, to some extent, his frustration, maybe some of his displeasure at having to deal with this restless group of people. And we can see that these are what we would call rhetorical questions in some sense. A rhetorical question is something that is not really designed to produce an answer, but it's more of a device that we're using to help to try to convince somebody, and it's more of a in most cases, or in some cases, we don't even want an answer. For example, we say a common example of a rhetorical question is when you say to somebody, "Do you think I'm stupid?" And you don't even expect an answer, or nor do you want an answer in that case. But it's part of what we call the art of persuasion. That's what rhetoric is. And that's what Moses is doing here. He's trying to persuade God that God hasn't done enough. And we can see different examples of rhetorical questions that are used in scriptures. And probably one of the more prominent ones is when God questions Job, and during the trials that Job had experienced, or towards the end of them. And I think it mentions that God posed something like 70 questions to Job as a way of, again, making his point about who really was in charge and how things were going. And here we see that God responds actually to Moses, that his response to Moses was in the form of this rhetorical question. In the 23rd verse, when he says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short?" Or, in other words, "Have I lost strength?" And he could have said, gone on to say, "Have you not seen what I've been able to do?" Because, of course, there was, starting with the direction to Moses when he was in the wilderness to go and take his people out of Israel, then God produced many miracles, many events that were noteworthy and you'd think have been very memorable, starting with the 10 plagues or any number of plagues that they had before they left Egypt. And as they left, they parted the sea and they had the destruction of Pharaoh's armies. They had water that came out of the rock and they had the manna that all they had to do was go out and gather it up in the morning. And so when God is answering these questions, he's saying to Moses, "Don't you see what I have done? Do you think that I've lost my strength?" And so when we look at the psalm again, we can see that that fourth verse, it says, "He sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears." So what were Moses' fears, would we say, in this case? Or was he even fearful? It actually sounds more like he was just plain frustrated or angry, at the end of his rope, fed up, we would say. And the other question is, do any of those sound familiar to us? Do any of those have any resonance in our lives? We hear the saying that anger, as Moses may have been expressing in this case, anger rides on fear. And we can say, we look at this and say, Moses was afraid that he wouldn't be able to live up to the expectation of the people, that he or that he actually had a heart for their concerns, and his fear was is that they wouldn't be able to be met. And when you look at it, it doesn't appear that he was fearful of God, that he was in the sense that we might think of. He wasn't afraid of death, because he even says quite forcefully, in this text, he said, "If this is the way that it's going to be, well, then kill me now. I don't want to have to put up with all this stuff." But that wasn't his fear. But we see again that in Moses seeking the Lord heard him. And but the other thing we can notice here is Moses took his fears or his concerns to the Lord without giving him conditions. When we look at the things that crop up in our lives, the things that we're fearful of, we often ask God to help us. But I know in my own case, when I look at it, I tend to provide God with a solution and say to him, "Well, this is the way I want it to be. Can you give me my request?" Moses hasn't done that here. He hasn't sought the Lord in the way of saying, "Well, this is kind of what I figured out, how it's going to be. This is the outcome that I expect from my dilemma, from my circumstance that's given me problems and keeping me awake at night." He simply said, "God, what am I going to do with this? Look at all these things that I have to deal with." But he didn't say that he had a plan and that he wanted God to make sure that the plan was executed. He simply stated the problem in the hopes that God would be able to solve it. And God heard him, as we know here, we can see here, and he gave him a response. And the response was not necessarily one that Moses suspected or expected, because he still questioned God. Because he said, how am I going to get all this meat? How am I going to be able to do these things that seem impossible? And again, we can hear echoes that come to our own life, because we are in situations where we think that they are impossible. And even that when God responds, we think, well, how is that going to happen? How is it that you're going to take us out of this circumstance comfortably and successfully? And again, it's not even that, like Moses, we question God's response. It's not even about the fact that no is sometimes an answer. No is an answer that we get from God. But it's not even about that. It's more about our expectation of what God should do. How should God take us out of whatever difficulty or problem that we have? And even though we say that he is all-powerful, yet if we say like Moses, like he did, he questioned God's response in a way he said, as if you can do that, as if I can do that. How am I going to get all this meat to feed a million people for a month? But when we do that, that still leaves us in fear. That still leaves us in a situation where we are fearful of what's going to happen to us, of how this circumstance should come out or could come out. And again, if we go back to the psalm, we see that the psalm again gives us the comparison of what fear of God is and what, in the sense that we are, we could be in the looking at God in a way where he is a terror to us. If we look at the ninth verse of that 34th psalm, he gives us two words, the both fear, but they both have a different meaning and context, in this context especially. The ninth verse says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. This first use of fear, and actually the second use of the word fear in this case, are both about awe and reverence. And that it's not about the terror that we would have, because the two words that were that are used for fear in this context, and indeed throughout Scripture, in one context they have a meaning of where we look to something that we are fearful of, like we are afraid of the dark, the terrors that it might hold for us. The other reference, or the other context that the word fear, the English word for fear, is used in, is more of, as it does here in the psalm, it points out the awe and the reverence that we are to have. For there is no want, it says, to them that fear him, that we would have this same kind of an approach to God that Moses had. That Moses wasn't fearful, like we say, of God in that sense, of the way that we sometimes look at how God interacts and how he responds to our requests. But again, we would look to God in a way that, in reverence and awe, we seek him out. We hear what he says. We respond, as he says, and in that he delivered me. He delivers us from our fears. Because in these times that we are experiencing with the global pandemic and with all of the other circumstances in the world that are go on and they are troubling, and we are left looking for answers. We are left searching for how do we respond in these situations. We can see that even as the seasons are turning, they've turned in this time from late winter, early spring, and now we're looking at early summer and into summer. All of those seasons turn in God's time. They turn in God's control and under His hand and direction. And we can say the same thing about the circumstances that we're experiencing. We know that God is there, and when we seek Him, when we listen to Him, and when we hear Him, then He again delivers us from all our fears. So we look to that, and Paul states it actually quite eloquently in Romans 8 when he says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." This is the terror. This is the quaking and get me away from this kind of fear. But he says, "But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father," that we look to God as in awe and reverence, and that He is indeed our help. So Moses sought the Lord, and the Lord heard him. And although we might not be able to say that he wasn't ever fearful after that, we can see that although Moses questioned God, at least in that circumstance, God didn't question Moses. God didn't say, "Why are you turning to me? Why are you asking me these things? Don't you see all of this? That I'm in control of all of this?" In his response, we really see him saying, "I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you what you've asked for. I'll give you 70 people to help you with the looking after this group of people. I'll also give the people what they wanted in the meat that they got." Now, as it turns out, all of that for the response that God gave them in the meat was really more than the people could handle. But in Moses seeking the Lord, in Moses looking to God for his answer, for his help with his problems, God did deliver him. And we can say that God did deliver him from all his fears. And then we can say with David that there is no want in those who look to God with awe and reverence. And as it says in the later part of what we read there in the Psalms, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." And we can see the example that we have here from Moses' life, but we can also look to the example that we have in our own lives. And when we look to what God is really telling us, what God is really saying to us, regardless of the circumstance, his invitation to us is, as we see the words of Jesus in Scripture, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, for I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We have things that God gives us. We have this yoke, if you will, this way that we are directed and helped and sustained in that way. And we know that that is God's invitation to us, that we would receive peace and comfort to our souls. That doesn't always translate, as we can see in this example of Moses, it doesn't always translate into things or circumstances where we never have any questions, where we never have any concerns. But what it does translate to is that when we truly turn to God, when we truly seek Him and hear Him, that He will and He does deliver us from all our fears. And to that end, may God expand the hearing and the reading of His word so that we would be able to gain more understanding and see more of who He is. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make His face shine unto thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.